scores! Gilmore scores! With 1:03 left.
Off the glass, it left corner to Aguilla. Aguilla the left circle. Passing to Yell, a shot. Save made by Aguilla. Rebound, another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts!
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg.
All right, let's get it going. It is Wednesday, July 3rd, as we welcome you into this hour on Flames Talk. Steinberg along with you back in Calgary as we get this hour going. Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. We got a lot to get to in the next hour on the program and a lot to dive into. Calgary Flames Development Camp this week. 9 of their 10-member class of 2024 will be at Winsport for Development Camp. And it has been as busy a week I can remember for the Calgary Flames. From an Andrew Mangiapane trade 6 days ago to a 10-player class of 2024 in Las Vegas at the draft to a very busy free agency Monday on Canada Day. Let's break it all down and more. It's time to spin you around the NHL with our buddy Frank Saravalli. It's time to say hello to our daily face-off NHL insider, brought to you by South Trail Chrysler, where they always make the buying process simple. Look for the big Canadian flag at 130th Ave or visit southtrailchrysler.com. Frank joins us now from Daily Faceoff and dailyfaceoff.com. Frank, you were right. You said we're probably not going to talk on Tuesday, and we didn't talk on Tuesday. Today's Wednesday. How are we doing?
Oh, well, I'm good. That's really because you didn't want to come home. Yeah. You just kept skipping your flight. You were in such a, on such a bender in Vegas that you just, every time you're like, I'm not going to make it.
You know what?
I'll get home eventually.
At some point I'll come home. A couple extra days in Vegas. Travel day Tuesday. Nice to be back. I'll say this, when it was all said and done, I don't know how it went for you because you were a little bit more of a quick in and out there coming from the Stanley Cup final and finally getting to go home. But I did not gamble. I did not lose nor win a single dollar on the tables or the slots.
So you didn't gamble or you didn't win or lose?
No, I just didn't gamble. I did not, like, at no point did I gamble. So, and I usually do.
So I did gamble, but I did not have one single sip of alcohol in my stay in Vegas.
Really?
I was so tired. I had been, so when I got home, that ended 61 days out of 65 that I was away. And I just said, if I go down this vortex, I'll never get out.
Yep. You were literally on the
and
road
I just,
for
like, I was
65
so tired.
Days. Good Lord.
Yep. Yep. And so I had to get out of there. Good to be home, but now I'm ready to go. I'm actually really jealous that it's Stampede week. Like, I'm telling you, Stampede is on my bucket list, and I've got to do it at some point. I need some brave Calgarian to host me, and let's have a time.
Yeah, you tell us when we want to do that, and we will make it happen.
I'm doing it. I'm doing it at some point, but this wasn't the year. But it is on my list.
Okay. We'll make that happen and make it a good one for you.
I'm not kidding you. There's some people that they want to see the seven wonders of the world or go wherever. On my list is like a bunch of golf courses and the Calgary Stampede.
Okay. Well, yeah, we'll hook that up. Will you tell us 1 year you want to do it? We'll make it happen for sure. How did you like Calgary's work overall in free agency? You look back, they were one of the busier teams just in terms of volume of signings on Monday. How'd you like Calgary and Craig Conroy's work in free agency on Monday?
It's funny. I wrote it in March and people were saying,
I was going to say, didn't they do exactly what we said they were going to do?
Didn't I write this? Didn't I tell you guys what the script was?
Yep.
I got it from Craig Conroy. I didn't make it up. I never make it up. I mean, this was exactly what I expected. The first rule of being a general manager on free agent day is do no harm. The Flames are going to be more competitive. They have more pieces. They drafted incredibly well, I think, given their positions and what was available to them. There's a patience factor that comes with that. And in the meantime, they signed short-term stopgaps that aren't going to hurt this team to ultimately get to where they want to get to. That was the name of the game, and that's what they've done.
Nothing more than 2 years, one one-year deal and a number of two-year deals. Like, it's exactly what Conroy was prepping everybody for. Hey, we're not going to do the long deals. We're going to give ourselves some flexibility. They still have a ton of cap flexibility after making all those signings. They've made themselves a little bit less top heavy from their veterans to some of their young players they're trying to give opportunity to. And I like, this is exactly, if you're a Flames fan, this is exactly what I think you wanted to see, because does this not just continue to fit, as you said, the big picture view that Craig Conroy's taking of building this team?
Hasn't that been the complaint from Flames fans the last number of years, which is there doesn't seem to be a plan? We're always finding, square pegs that go into round holes. We're getting a Kadri, we're getting a Huberto, we're all over the place. We're getting a Uyghur, we're signing massive long-term, like, just as easily the Flames could have said, you know what, we're half in already. Let's go get ourselves a Brandon Montour and a Chandler Stephenson and, let's go do that. But they didn't. That would have been an easy path to go down. It would have created buzz. People might have been excited. But you're just continuing to do the same thing over and over again. This is a departure from that. This is, hey, we know what the ultimate prize is. We may be stuck in a little bit of a rut right now. There's going to be nights next season where it's not going to be pretty. But to your point, they've continued to keep open holes and opportunities for young players to grab those spots. They've got their draft picks now in the development incubator. And there are going to be plenty of opportunity now to acquire more. I'll tell you what, Craig Conroy right now, this week, he's on the prowl for contracts that teams don't want anymore.
Yep.
Hey, let me be your exit ramp. Let me utilize the cap space that I have to take on a player or two from you that you don't want anymore. And we'll take a draft pick in order to do it.
They're still sitting at almost $22 million in cap space for next season with all the money they've cleared out and a rising cap. Like, they've got the flexibility. I asked Craig Conroy that on Saturday to wrap up the draft, and he said, yes, absolutely, we're open for business. We want a fee. Like, he kind of gave, like, the Godfather, we're not communists here. Like, we want a fee, but he's willing to help teams out. And that's a nice, we haven't seen a ton of that whole idea of weaponizing cap space. That was the buzz term a few years ago. But if they want to do it and the Flames are open to do it, like, they've got the ability. It's just more flexibility for them. Any potential targets in that respect?
Before we get to that, yeah, let me just spin what the last few days happened in a better nutshell. They traded Mangiapane, got a second-round pick, which I thought was great value,
yep,
moved his full $5.8 million off the cap, signed a few players basically for the total of what Mangiapane's $5.8 million was, give or take a couple bucks, and now have a second-round pick, a little bit of a deeper roster, and are ready to go for everything else.
Yeah. Yep. It's.
Am I missing anything?
I don't think so. I really think that the entire last week has been very much on script with how the Flames are trying to do things right here. Everything has just been another brick in building where they want to go. And I guess the last question would be completely Flames related, and you and I have had lots of talks about this. We're now into day three of free agency, and Oliver Shillington hasn't signed yet. What's your read on what's happening on the Shillington front and whether or not a return to Calgary could still be in the cards?
Well, first off, I think it was an embarrassing read from his camp to think that he was going to get more unless they had something lined up that fell through. why did they feel the need to strong arm the Flames in talks? I don't really quite understand. Like, they had 75 days to get a deal done before free agency opened. If I'm the Flames, and not to be spiteful, I'm sitting here going, you know what? I paid you for an entire year to sit at home in Sweden and work through your issues. I gave you all the time you wanted last season to finally get to a place where you could play. You come back, you played fine, but we essentially invested $5 million in you to play 30-some games. Is that what it ended up being?
Yep.
You mean to tell us, like, now you're going to come back to us on your hands and knees crawling, asking for a deal? Sorry, we're going to move on. And not to make it more than it is, I think what transpired is incredibly disappointing. I felt like, and this is just me speaking, this isn't anything that I've gathered from the team or anything like that.
Yeah.
They went so above and beyond doing right by him that I felt like he owed them 1 year at slightly below market rate to pay them back for the way the last 2 years played out. That they didn't feel that way. That didn't happen. They thought they were going to go out there and get a, hey, this is what a player of this, you know, 27 years old, whatever he is, magnitude that has top four potential, this is what we're going to get paid on the open market. It didn't happen. And now what?
Well, I
wouldn't go back there. And I don't think the Flames are too inclined to go back there, but you never say never.
Well, the other interesting part is so leading up to free agency, and you know, when you got the word, when I was in Vegas, when you kind of got the word that, yeah, this is leaning more and more towards, like, he might hit the market here. And even on the Wednesday or Thursday of draft week, that seemed to be the indication I was getting. And the indication also was, if that happens, we'd still like to see if we can bridge the gap. We're going to keep talking. The door's not closed, but we've got a comparable player or two that we're ready to sign in free agency who can come in and fill the same job. And did they not get exactly that with their Jake Bean signing? Left shot, same age, right? Like, that's your comparable guy.
Well, and a guy that's from Calgary and wants to play for the Flames,
yeah,
right?
Yep.
So I was told then that Shillington was asking for more than what Bean got.
Yes, and I that is also what I term and dollar figure.
Yes. He was asking for a multi-year deal north of $2 million, is what I was told.
Yep.
I mean, good for him. God bless. Like, look, there's lots of people that got deals that, you know, make your head spin. And not saying Oliver Shillington is not worth it. If you've listened to the program over the years, you've heard me extol the virtues of what I think he is and could be. But there's a significant gap between perception and reality, and it feels to me like they overplayed their hand.
That's kind of what I was going to ask you. Did his representation maybe overplay this one or read the market wrong? I wonder what this ends up looking like here as we're now into day three of free agency. Oliver Shillington still not signed, whether it be by the Flames or another NHL team. Frank Saravalli's with us. Daily Faceoff NHL Insider joins us every week here on Flames Talk. And how close did the Flames get on Victor Arvidsson? I know that was one of the things you put out there when he signed with Edmonton. You know, there was a lot of Alberta interest in the former LA King. He signs in Edmonton for 2 years, but how close do you think it got in Calgary?
Pretty close. I think the Flames thought they had him. The timing is always a little bit suspect or tough to drill down on because of the nature of the period that you're dealing with. But I think there was a chunk of time where Calgary thought they were getting Victor Arvidsson. I think the deal was probably very similar to what he ended up getting in Edmonton, if not a little bit more than what he ended up getting in Edmonton. And look, I'd never fault a player, especially at that stage of his career, who's, you know, has dealt with some injury and in his 30s. Someone who's had success and played in a Stanley Cup final. it's no different than the conversation we've had the last number of weeks about Jacob Markstrom. Like, guys want to compete. They want a chance to win. I don't think the Flames are out there peddling, hey, this is a, you know, you have a chance to win a Stanley Cup here. That's not part of their pitch. So when someone decides to jump and do something differently, I don't think there's any hard feelings. I just think for a period of time, they thought they had Victor Arvidsson.
And I think they were, I don't know how close they got, but I think there was an offer on the table for Zucker before he signed his 1-year deal at $5 million. So
that would make sense.
They were, and I think it was a multi-year deal, but the Zucker camp went with the big AAV and the 1-year deal. So there was a lot there. There was, and again, they were all, even had they landed Jake DeBrusk, Frank, who ended up in Vancouver on a 7-year deal, there was no 7-year deal on the table for Jake DeBrusk. Higher AAV, but a lower term. How surprised were you when you found out, when you got the word that it was going to be DeBrusk and the Canucks?
Not surprised in the destination. I knew he was going west, but I was surprised in the term and dollars. Like, that is a massive, massive commitment. Like, that's a serious contract. And not to say he hasn't earned it. I mean, when you consistently score 20 goals in the NHL, you're going to get paid. But I was definitely surprised with the 7-year commitment, because that's a ton.
Was that a reaction to not landing Gensel?
Oh, I think that was a check down option for sure.
Okay.
Look, he's not a comparable, but he got well more than half of the money that Gensel got, which is, when you think about it, it's kind of amazing in and of its own right. So it's a serious deal. So good for Jake DeBrusk. I mean, I think the Flames were one of the teams on the list, but I don't think that they were ever really authentically landing Jake DeBrusk, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, if you're offering a 4-year deal and you've got a 7-year deal on the table from Vancouver, kind of tough to compete with that. So understandable that he ended up choosing the Canucks.
I was going to say, speaking of those two teams, maybe the most surprising deal for me of all in free agency that didn't really get talked about was the deal that Elias Lindholm signed.
Yeah. Did he not, like, I thought he was going to leave way more on the table, Frank. When I saw 7 times 7.75, I was stunned. Yes, he left an extra year on the table and maybe an extra, say, I don't know, let's say $500,000 per year on the table. So, okay, so maybe he leaves about $10 million on the table when it's all said and done, when you count in that extra year. But I was stunned at how close to AAV-wise, how close to what he signed in Boston was to what he would have gotten a little less than a year ago, maybe, with the Flames.
They must have had that on the table the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, they must have known that they'd be able to get close to it. I think he still left $14 million on the table. I believe the Flames' last offer was 8 times 8.5.
Yeah.
That's 68. He signed for what? 60. I'm bad at math. Just under 60.
54. No, he signed 7 by 7.75. So 54.25.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, 54.25.
Yeah, so $14 million, 13 and a half.
Yeah.
So that's, I thought it was going to be 30. Our projections, you know, in line with AFP Analytics, who, by the way, not only did a great job, but they almost perfectly nailed a bunch of contracts. They had him at, like, I think it was 6 times 5.75. And he did well north of that. Mm-hmm. I personally, good player, not a driver, which I think has been proven. I'll tell you what, the Oilers front office told me privately that they were glad that they're not going to have to see him again in that division, because they felt like he was a true pain in the arse to play against,
yeah.
Which is maybe one of the true compliments that you could get. But that said, you're paying him frontline money to not be a driver. And I think the Flames dodged a huge bullet in that contract. Sometimes some of those deals that, you know, the best ones are the ones you don't make. And when you look at how I think Lindholm, he's so smart, but how I think he's going to age, the production, when you have the production that varies year to year, like his does so wildly dependent on who he plays with, generally that doesn't get better over time. It gets worse.
Yeah.
So look, good player, but not a player I'm giving that kind of term and dollar to.
Well, and the strangest thing is that I don't even know if there was ever an actual 8.5 offer on the table. Cause I think when they, from the way I kind of understand it, is going back to when they were still negotiating in September, October, there was an 8x8. The Lindholm camp said, yeah, no, we're not going to sign that. And they said, well, what if we went to 8.5? Like, where would we have to go? And they basically got a, yeah, probably. So you're right. This Boston situation, and it feels like Boston's been telegraphed all along, but they must have known that they were going to get this kind of number for a long time. That's a pretty good read on things, because otherwise you were taking a big risk if you didn't know this was in your big back pocket.
Well, they must have, because I never heard his name talked about with any other team.
Yeah.
Like, in the course of my travels around the league through free agency trying to nail down deals leading up to it, I never heard, hey, we're talking to Lindholm. Hey, we're in on Lindholm. We're interested in Lindholm. No one ever said it. There was a bunch of teams with Zadorov. I thought for a period of time Zadorov was going to the Carolina Hurricanes.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a ton of stuff all over the place, but I never one time heard Lindholm's name, which tells you that this was cooked a long time ago.
Yeah. But that's not allowed. That never happens. They
wink, 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 wink.
They got it all done
but here,
on Monday.
Here's what I would say. If everyone's tampering, then no one's tampering.
Yep. That's fair.
I mean, that's the truth. Like, if every single team's doing it with every single player, you're not going to suddenly wake up if you're the NHL today and start cracking skulls. Like, there's nothing, like, you're penalizing every team in the league. So therefore you can do it with immunity.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. Couple more observations. Rebuild over in Nashville after their Monday.
What rebuild? I mean, Barry Trotz takes over the Nashville Predators and is driving it like he stole it. I mean, I can't really recall having a top 75 free agents and one team sweeping the top three on free agent day.
Huh.
Stamkos, Marchessault, Brady Shea. I mean, that team is, but first off, they're going to be some immaculate vibes in Nashville, because those are everyone that they brought in are all fun guys to be around, and they already had a great culture and group with Ryan O'Reilly and Luke Shen and the whole team there. Like, it's going to be, that's going to be a fun team to be around. Two, they're going to be vastly improved. They've gone now from a playoff team that arrived in the playoffs on the back of a heater to a team that I think you have to vault into that conversation now as a really dangerous playoff team.
Yeah.
And three, my only question through all of it is, you're kind of like, you've gone from one end of the spectrum to the other, which is rebuilding team 18 months ago to now the second oldest roster in the NHL, 30.8 years old. I mean, I kind of look at that Predators logo a little bit differently, and I say, is that a team already a little bit long in the tooth?
Mm-hmm.
Like, pardon the horrible pun, but that is, like, it's a real fair question to ask. Like, Stamkos, 33. Brady Shea's on the younger end of that, of course. Jonathan Marchessault, 33, 34, like, these guys, Ryan O'Reilly, like, these are not guys that have had easy miles on them. So yeah, they ended up trading Ryan McDonough. He could have fit in quite well with that group now at that age. So they're going to be way better, but for how long? And I guess what's the ultimate vision here? Maybe if I'm looking at it from Nashville's perspective and I haven't gotten their insight on it, maybe Barry Trotz did a deep dive on their prospect pool and said, yeah, okay, we've got Zachary Leheru and we've got Yaroslav Askarov. And what else do we have?
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to be our impact pieces? And in the meantime, if we're spending closer to the cap anyway, are we not better off of having a 4-year run, basically the duration of the Stamkos contract, just trying to, you know, go balls to the walls, for lack of a better term, and really trying to chase something, as opposed to 4 years where we swim around the NHL's murky middle and neither win nor lose? Yeah. Like, basically be, you know, not good enough to draft, if I can say this, somewhere between, you know, 8th and 20th in the draft.
Yep. Yeah. Anything
not
else?
Not a true Stanley Cup threat and not a lottery threat.
Exactly.
So, like, what are you?
The middle, which is death at times in this league. Anything else? Have we hit anything, like anything else that we should hit on? I always like to ask that when things are so busy like this.
I think it's going to be really quiet for the most part. I think you've got to be on Mitch Marner watch. Short of that, I mean, you're still talking about Marty Natchez, but I don't know that there's anything real hot button. Maybe a Jeremy Swayman extension and how they try and find progress on that front. But other than that, like, I think from a Calgary perspective especially, it's going to be quite quiet here.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you're home. I'm glad that the 65-day grind is over. And be well. Thanks for doing this as always, Frankie. Appreciate it.
Hey, good to be with you all year. Really appreciate all of the support from 960 in Calgary. And good to chat with you guys on a weekly basis. And looking forward to it next year.
Yeah. I guess this would be the last one. I didn't even think about that. It's July 3rd. Yeah. Have a good summer, pal. And we'll bug you if anything big happens. But otherwise, I'll try to leave you alone, at least when it comes to radio hits.
Yep. And enjoy the Stampede.
Yes, I will. Bye, buddy.
Yeah.
Frank Saravalli, Daily Faceoff, dailyfaceoff.com for the last time this season. Brought to you by South Trail Chrysler, where they always make the buying process simple. Look for the big Canadian flag at 130th Ave or visit SouthTrailChrysler.com.
Flames Talk is on the air and streaming on the Sportsnet mobile app. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary.
All right, this hour continues. Steinberg here. Let's also say hello to Wes Gilbertson with us for the rest of this hour. The rest of the week on Flames Talk. Hello, Wes.
Welcome home.
Thank you, buddy. Glad. I'm happy to be home. You know what? As
sure
we bring in Director of Player Development of the Calgary Flames, Ray Edwards, as well. We're going to set up development camp, which starts Thursday, Wednesday. Fitness testing, all that type of stuff, orientation and more. Thursday, first on-ice session at Winsport. Let's say hello to Ray on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline, first of all. Hello, Ray. How are we doing?
What's going on, gentlemen? Great to be with you again.
You as well. You as well. And Wes is referring to the fact that I had a forced extension to my time in Vegas. Just an extra 50 hours in Vegas. Not so good on the credit card. Let me tell you that much.
So it's,
well, most of us did too. Mine wasn't quite 50 hours, but we got at least 24 hours extended. So yeah, it was a challenge getting back to Calgary.
Did your return, was it as janky as Craig Conroy's, who had to somehow the general manager of the team had to fly to Seattle, drive to Abbotsford. Did he then fly to Edmonton and drive back? That's the general manager of the team.
So I'm not telling you mine then, because I might get fired if he finds out what mine was. No, it wasn't too bad. I ended up going to L.A. and then L.A. into Calgary.
Okay.
So it was about 24 hours later. Jordan Sigalet and I got on that flight. So, but the funny story is all of us scrambling, trying to get flights, right? It was, and poor Martin Jelena, he tried and he missed. And so he had to stay another 24 hours. Like, we still have a scout there. I think Alistair McNeil is still there. So, like, we still have guys stranded there. And we just got our last two guys in the development camp just now. They just landed here at Winsport. So it has been a definite challenge. But good to say everyone's here. We had one player that wasn't able to show up because of a real bad flu bug, Trevor Hoskins. But everyone else made it. So we're happy to say that. Yep.
Ray, do you mean to tell me the development guys don't have some sort of jet or something? I thought for sure you guys would have wheels.
Yeah, we got wheels. They're like tricycles and bicycles. That's the wheels we get, fellas. But no, thankfully we got everybody here, so we're excited. We had a good day today of medicals and fitness testing, put the kids through a ringer. You guys know Ricky Davis does a great job, and Kent and his staff do a great job doing all that today. So hats off to them for making this a painless day for these young fellas.
Well, I think I think Sigalet was the most stress-free because he was booked on that United flight out of Vegas through LA the entire time. So he was like, I'm just going home.
That's the one he booked to go home.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the one I end up getting on. That was the one I end up getting a seat on.
That's the one that I got on. Lucky. I got on that one just 2 days after you did.
Oh, okay. Yeah, just 2 days.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I want to see the credit card bills, gentlemen. I want to see them.
They need to be
put out in public for public knowledge.
I'd rather. I'm going to avoid looking at it for the next little while.
Well, it was a great weekend, though.
It was. And now you've got, so you said Trevor Hoskins, a bad flu bug, is going to make it so he can't be a part of this. But otherwise, you've got 8 now of the 10 members of your draft class that are going to be there, and a number of others, tryouts, other prospects. It's time for another year of development camp, hey?
Yeah, I think the number is 37, Pat, and since I've been here, and you would know better probably, this is my 10th year, I don't think we've had this many a 10 from the draft, right? And of course, some years we've only had 3 and different things, but this is the most kids we've had from the draft. And then, you know, if you look forward to Penticton, we could have 7 or 8 from this year's draft class playing in Penticton because of all the CHL kids we drafted. So I'm really excited about that.
Every year you do something a little bit different and you learn from past years and you're always tweaking this camp to make it so that it's the best possible experience, not just on the ice, but maybe even more so off the ice for your prospects and to really kind of give them an indoctrination of what this organization is all about and a crash course of what the Calgary Flames value. And maybe before we get into the on-ice, which we'll absolutely talk about, but wanted to get into some of the off-ice stuff with you because I'm really interested. When I saw you in Vegas last week, you were really excited about the guest speaker that you're bringing in. Tell us about bringing Sheldon Kennedy in and why this is so important for this year's camp.
Well, hey, great to bring that up. I think yes, you know, I think just with the landscape of where we are in the world right now, I think in obvious situations that have popped up in different sports, we just thought it was real important understanding Sheldon's history and his knowledge and his expertise and just the work that he's done. We thought it was real important to try to get Sheldon in to visit with our guys. I mean, I think most people know Sheldon's history, but I think his expertise in helping young players and young men sort of navigate through situations that arise, right? And I know he talks a lot about stepping up and stepping in and just respect, overall respect, and not being a bystander. And we've all been and been around situations where if you go back, you certainly say, well, I wish I did more there, or I wish I would have stepped up and did something. And so I think that's a big part of what this conversation will be. And obviously I think Sheldon has different experiences from whether whether he was playing in junior or college or junior or the NHL that he can bring to these kids. And I think there's a multitude of things that he'll talk about tonight. So I'm really excited about having him there. I'm going to meet with him here at 5:30 and We're going to go down and go through his presentation. But the one thing we're going to do is we're going to put some questions back to the players and get some dialogue and get some real back and forth going in terms of some of these topics. So I think it's sometimes a hard subject, guys, but I think it's an important subject. And just we feel real blessed to have Sheldon come in and spend some time with us tonight.
That's awesome. So Sheldon Kennedy will address the prospects on Wednesday night. And you've got some other cool things kind of off the ice planned for the guys, whether it be a little bit of a getaway, just some bonding time. What else do you got planned before we dive in on the on-ice stuff? What else do you got planned for the group off the ice this year?
Well, this is the first time that we're going to take our group golfing since I've been here. And one of the things over the years we've heard from our prospects, we always ask them, you know, is there something you'd like to do? And so we've sort of been taking this information on. And so this off season, we, as a development group, we sat together and we came up with taking them golfing. So we're going to take them to Kananaskis. I think we're going to be blessed with a beautiful day. If you guys have been out there, it is a beautiful golf course and a beautiful setting. So we're going to play a little tournament golf out there. And Mike Stone, as you guys know, is an avid golfer. So I said, Stoney, this is on you. This is your baby. So he's set it up. Him and Darren Romerdahl have set it up. And so we're going to head out there Friday afternoon and enjoy that beautiful golf course and the beautiful scenery and play a little golf and have a beautiful steak dinner afterwards. So, again, first time we've done it. I think it'll be a great team building event for our group, and so really excited to visit those folks out there.
That's awesome. So that and then there's the on ice side of everything, which, look, it's July hockey. There's only so much that and your group has always been very adamant that, like, it's important, the skills development, getting on with some of the coaches and some of the skills guys, important, but there's only so much that you can really accomplish in July hockey. What are some of the goals with the on-ice component compared to maybe the off-ice?
Yeah, really good question. I think the off-ice stuff is really skill-orientated. So obviously Danielle is going to get some real good needed time with all of our prospects. We've got 8 new kids here that she's going to have to get a book on, right? So she's done a lot of work on the draft, and she'll know them a little bit from her pre-scouting work for the draft, but this is the first time she'll get to get with them, get some video on them, put a plan together for them. So that's one thing. And then obviously, you know, we have prospects, the Stromgrens, the Coronados of the world, the Sionas of the world that need to get good time with her as well. So that's big priority. The other piece is just that overall skill development. So each player obviously has 2 or 3 things that we're focusing on, whether it be a puck protection thing or different shooting angles or you know, getting pucks off the wall, creating offense, offensive tactics, whatever it may be. Each player has 2 or 3 of these things that we're focusing on. So, you know, we're going to focus a lot on those types of things. And those have all been discussed within the coaching staff, with the American League team, primarily with Trent and his staff, and some of the players that may have been there last year. So, you know, the camp itself is going to be broken up into a lot of skill development and skating development. And then one thing we definitely are doing this year, last year we tried a little 3-on-3 tournament. We liked it, but this year we're going to go back and do our normal scrimmage. It'll be a 3-on-3, 4-on-4 type format. And I got to tell you guys, we're just really blessed to be able to have Kelsey Snow come out and,
nice,
and Wilma and the children coming out to be able to present the Snowy Cup. So I was able to talk to Kelsey a couple of weeks ago and just really glad that she was in town and was able to come out to present the winner of that game, the cup, and just to see them and be able to touch base a little bit with them will be great. So that's something I'm really looking forward to, and I know our group is.
Yeah, second annual Snowy Cup is the scrimmage on Saturday. That's awesome that the whole family is going to be there to be able to present it. We're chatting with Ray Edwards. He is the Director of Player Development for the Calgary Flames, helping us tee up development camp this week at Winsport at Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson on Flames Talk. Wes?
Ray, you mentioned sort of the size of this draft class. 8 guys are going to be here this week, 10 overall. I'm just curious, can you sort of describe what it's like for you and your staff on such a tight turnaround? Like, you, when you talk about, we want to give each player a few things to work on, obviously a lot of research goes into that and to set those priorities from your end. And so take us through the last few days as you sort of start to onboard so many new faces.
Great question, Wes. You know, I think a lot of the credit goes to the scouting staff, Todd and his group. They are meticulous with their reports and their bios on these players. Obviously, Matt Brown. So all that information is available to us. So that's one of the things I've been doing a lot of, is just trying to, you know, absorb all that, read it, get a sense of, you know, their areas of focus. You know, and when you're going through all those reports, you get a real good detailed sort of report on what, you know, where they think they are, what areas they got to get better at. And so being able to have that information is invaluable. And now what we've got to do is get them here, get them under, you know, sort of our wing here and see them on the ice, you know, obviously with Rebecca and Danielle and Marty and Darren and Mike Stone. We'll all get together along with the American League coaches and then we'll sort of debrief after camp and say, okay, here's player X and here are the things we got to focus on him over the next 2 months. And then, as you guys know, we'll have a development plan put together for each player, and each player will have specific things. So this is a great week, Wes, to sort of get to know these guys and dig in with these guys and really, really figure out the areas of focus. And then it's our job, you know, obviously our strength and conditioning people got to have a big job to do in terms of, you know, putting goals and objectives together for them. And this week's a good start to all that. So for the new guys, it's really important. And for the guys coming in that have been here before, it's really a check-in. Where are you at? How can we help you over the next couple of months to reach the goals that you want to, you know, get to? And then obviously, you know, sort of just dial in on some of the skill stuff and skating stuff.
We obviously don't have time to kind of hit on all the individuals, and I wish we did, because I know you'd give us such great intel on all of them. But there is so much excitement over the past few days in this city about Zane Parekh. I'm just curious, you know, maybe your first impressions from the reports you read, from what you've seen on video so far, just everything you know about Zane. What are your early impressions of the 9th overall pick?
Well, I'll probably sound like Todd, but the thing that sticks out to me is just the skill and the hockey sense, right? It's the hockey IQ is off the charts. The skill is off the charts. Skating is elite. So, I mean, we're talking about a highly skilled, highly intelligent hockey player. So, and when I watch him play, he makes plays that you're shaking your head going, you know, I can't believe he made that play. So, obviously there's, you know, the side of the game that we'll want to see and look at is this play without the puck. And that, you know, every defenseman that I've worked with over the last 9 years, 10 years, you know, that has to be a priority. It's such a big step, as you know, going from major junior to the NHL. So most of these kids have to do that. And Zane's no different, but you know, we're talking about an elite player with the puck. And so we're obviously excited about that. I'm excited to see it live and up close on the ice. And just a quick story. We, you know, I don't know if you guys knew this, but we invited his brother Issa about three or four days before camp. And so Issa texted me at the draft, said, "Hey, I'm here with Zane, really excited about camp." And then about an hour later, we drafted Zane. And so he sent me another text back saying, "How great is this?" And so and they all came up to the suite. The whole family was there. And it was just great to meet everybody. Outstanding family. So these two boys are, you talk about character, high character, really looking forward to get to know them a little bit more, but obviously very excited about Zane.
Did you just send Issa a note, say, "Hey, would you mind forwarding the development camp details to your brother? Tell him he's excited to, or he's invited as well."
No, I know. We'd love to, I was like, yeah, we'd love to have him too. Hopefully it works out type of thing. Right. So
right.
It's just amazing how it worked out. And, you know, Craig and his staff had sort of earmarked Issa, and so he was the guy that we wanted to bring to development camp, and just happy that it worked out that we got Zane as well.
Ray, how does the atmosphere at a camp like this change with what's happening in the organization? And, you know, we saw, it's one thing to, you know, say we're going to create opportunities for young guys and we're going to give young guys a chance to excel, and then we all saw what happened with, you know, Zeri and Pospisil and just the sheer number of guys who had an opportunity to make their NHL debut. Does that Like, does that change the sort of setting? Does that change the mood and atmosphere around a camp like this at all?
Well, I can tell you this without a doubt. Every player that was in Vegas that we drafted, that we brought up to the suite, it was one of the first things they talked about, was just how excited they are to come to an organization that's in this sort of position, and that they knew that, you know, if they did their job and they do what they have to do, that there could be opportunity for them. And I think, so that you talk about sort of a feeling or a vibe around camp, I think that's what it is. It's just excitement knowing that, you know, if they do the work that has to be done, there could be a chance that they could find their way as a Calgary Flame. So I think it was really evident at the draft that every player we picked was excited about sort of where we were as an organization.
We're chatting with Ray Edwards, a few more with the Flames Director of Player Development. And for, you know, you've got your tryout players. You obviously have a number of players that your development group is quite familiar with because you've been working with them for the last year plus since they were part of the organization, and sometimes for multiple years with your development crew. This for the first round, not the first round, but the 2024 draft class, the eight players that are going to be able to take part in this camp, that it's even more crucial for them. Like, because I would imagine, especially with the tight turnaround here, drafted on Friday and Saturday, and then into Calgary immediately on the ice wearing a Flames jersey, it's got to be somewhat overwhelming to a lot of these guys.
Well, I know it's been a couple tough days because, again, we had flights booked for them, and some of them got canceled. And unfortunately, we had guys going from Vegas to Montreal, Montreal to Calgary. So it's been a bit of a challenge getting everybody here. But I know now that we've got them all here, they've all taken a deep breath. I think they're soaking it in. You know, we had our opening meeting last night, and Craig addressed the group, and Ryan Huska addressed the group. So just to have Craig and Ryan there and give their message, I think, you know, there was a lot of, eyes that were glued to and ears glued to what they had to say. And you could see the excitement in their faces. Right. So, and then today the faces looked a little different because I think they were put through the paces today pretty good, which is all part of it. And the great thing about that, guys, as you know, is we get some great data on them, and it allows us to sort of track their progress and give us a good understanding of where they're at. But I can tell you, just, you know, being around here all day at Winsport and talking to the guys, the excitement level is very high. They're all, you know, just overwhelmed to be here. And we'll, you know, hopefully they'll leave here learning a lot of information, taking a lot of information in. As you know, we've got years and years and years of experience with Marty and Mike and, you know, obviously our NHL coaches and American League coaches. So, you know, they're going to take a lot of information on this week, and they're going to leave here with a good plan. And then it's up to us as a development team to make sure we execute that plan.
And a last one for you, Ray. Wes asked you about the first round pick of 2024 in Zane. Can you give us a little bit of bigger picture view of what's happening with Matvei Greiden, who was, as we understand, committed to go to Michigan in the NCAA, but was also drafted in Wednesday's CHL import draft, first overall by Val d'Or in the QMJHL. Where do things sit right now when it comes to Matvei and kind of where he might be playing next season?
Great question, guys. And unfortunately, I probably don't have a lot for you. And the main reason is I've been digging in down here all day, so I don't have a ton. Obviously, Val d'Or did take him. I know Craig wants to reach out to Gold Star to find out what the plan is. So he'll do that and get back to me in terms of, you know, is that the place he'll end up or what happens next. So I know, just happened earlier today. So.
Yep.
Hopefully we have more information for you guys in the next few days, but unfortunately I don't have a whole lot for you today.
Okay, so still decision pending is where things sit right now with where he's going to play
correct.
Next year. Okay.
Yeah, correct.
Well, enjoy camp, hey. I know that for you this is one of the big, big stretches on your calendar, and it's a big opportunity for you and your entire development group, which has grown so much over the last number of years. So enjoy development camp. Good luck, and we'll see you down at Winsports. Good to chat with you, as always, Ray. Thanks for doing this.
guys, I appreciate it. I did want to just mention, I forgot to mention earlier, we I think our guys are really excited about, we're going to do a bowling event with the Superheroes kids on Tuesday, the 9th. And I forgot to mention it earlier, but just came to my mind and just wanted you guys to know that. I know the players are really excited to get out there and meet some of these young children that are involved and have so many challenges in their life. But that's a definite evening that we're really looking forward to next Tuesday.
Yes, the Superheroes program with Heroes Hockey does unbelievable work. Yeah. So that'll be a lot of fun. That'll be a real gratifying experience for everyone, too. So that's awesome. Okay, Ray. Well, enjoy it all, my friend, and we'll catch up with you down at Winsport, hey?
Yeah, come say hi, fellas. Great being on with you again.
You as well. Good to have you on. Good to chat with you. Ray Edwards is the Flames Director of Player Development as we start to wrap things up this hour, setting things up on this week, Stampede Week, but also Development Camp Week for the Flames. On-ice sessions open to the public start Thursday morning at Winsport. 37 players will take place, as Ray told us. No Trevor Hoskin, as he'll the fourth-round pick will have to miss out with a bad flu bug, and decision pending on Matvei Gridin when it comes to where he's going to play next year as well. As we wrap things up, Ray joined us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Celebrate the summer soccer spectacle from around the world and cheer on your favorite country on the big screens at Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar, 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast.